Every year in the fall, I make an announcement to the college young people in the chapel. And this announcement goes something like this. I know you think you're invincible and that you do not need to wear a coat from the Heritage Center to Old Main down here or back. However, when the temperature gets down, as it did early, like in the 30s and the 20s, even the 40s, the potential for you to get sick from not being dressed properly and understanding your vulnerability as a human being, even though you are young, you have the much higher potential of getting sick. Now, it's one thing about you getting sick and being miserable, listening in class and being miserable, trying to do homework. That's hard. You got a sore throat. It's not real fun to do English composition, you know, or work on your Greek or whatever. But I said the bigger issue, folks, is that you live with people. And so roommates really don't enjoy hearing all the stuff that goes on with a bad cold and all those germs all hidden, put in that room and among your classmates and so forth. And I don't usually go into this elaborate, well, sort of do. It's a little more direct than this with the students, but I really encourage them, you know, don't try to be macho. Get your coat on, properly bundle up, because a little bit of prevention can make you a lot happier in life and not go through being sick, but it certainly will make the rest of us a lot happier if you don't spread your germs, okay? You think I ought to make that announcement? It's probably a good one, yes, okay. All the mamas and daddies said, absolutely, we're glad you make that announcement. All right, now, the point I want to make is, if we don't deal with our vulnerabilities, spiritually and emotionally, if we're unwilling to really get help or really acknowledge the healing that there is in Christ, we're not only going to hurt ourselves, but people around us are going to be collateral damage. And that is what is really tragic. Oh, it's tragic that your life is lived with shame and unnecessary guilt and heartache and the insecurities that come and then the coping mechanisms and the addictions that follow that and the cover-up that follows that. All of that is tragic for you and what it does in your relationship to God. But I'll guarantee you that the bigger issue is that it's affecting those that you have responsibility to minister to in the roles and responsibilities that God gives you. Folks, if we can learn that it's not just about us, in fact, our motivation for spiritual victory ought not be primarily we want to be happy and have victory. It needs to be, number one, God needs to be glorified. Number two is my life matters. And when I'm bound up in self and I am broken and I am not functioning and I am possessed with the issues that I'm facing and I'm crippled because of it, people aren't being reached, people aren't being helped, and I'll guarantee you, husbands, wives, children are very definitely collateral damage. And so one of the things that we need to understand in this matter of identity crisis is that the crisis does not just involve us. The crisis involves those closest to us. So I want us to go back to the very same text we used last week for a similar thought, but it was different, and that's Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And that's not going to be our primary text, but I want us to look at that. Ephesians chapter 5 gives us this whole emphasis of the fact that for us to walk circumspectly, to walk in the light, to live as we ought to have the ministry within the local church we should have, we need to be filled with the Spirit. Chapter 5, verse 18. We don't need to escape. That's the whole coping mechanism. Be not drunk with wine where it's an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We talked about the fact that it's the Spirit that fills us. He controls us. He empowers us. And then we looked at the three very clear evidences of being Spirit-filled. Number one is God consciousness, the matter that you're praising the Lord. By the way, we ought to have an entire week, and all the weeks, of course, but if the week of Thanksgiving, wouldn't it be great if we were filled with the Spirit and praising God all week long? That's really what it ought to be. And that's what happens. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So you can know that you're really walking with God when he is really precious to you. He's real, he's personal, and you're praising him even through the difficult times. And then that just following that is verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God. There's your thanksgiving. God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a thankful spirit for all that God is allowing, all that is occurring, that is only able to be accomplished when you are spirit-filled. When you're bitter, you're frustrated, you're angry, all of that shows that the flesh is dominant. We could speak quite a bit about that. But then we look primarily at verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And we talked about last week, because of the distrust, because of the issues in our lives of the brokenness and the self-absorption from it, we do not gain from the spiritual authority and the mentorship that we, in our life that God has put there. We don't gain like we ought to. And it can even get straight out to resisting authority as far as with children, with their parents, wives, with their husbands, and so forth. And the very important reality that the identity crisis clearly brings a distrust and a reaction of the flesh to God-given authorities in our lives. I want to look at that verse now, though, in the complete context or the complete meaning of it. And that is, we are to submit ourselves, we are to arrange ourselves in order of authority, God and those God's placed in our lives, and then we are to take the, whatever responsibility God has given us, and we're to submit ourselves one to another. That's a husband to a wife. Wife, obviously, to a husband. Children to parents, but parents to children. It's the idea that we have a role of a servant to meet the needs of those who God has put in our life, and we are to be surrendered to the Spirit of God, enabling us not to be selfish, not to be living for what we want, but to be supernaturally engaging those in our lives to bring them to the place spiritually that God wants them to be. And those responsibilities, when we're broken and we're not growing, are never met. One of the things that will be clearly taught when dealing with addictions is those closest to those with addictions are the ones that are hurt the most. In the Conquer series, one of the things that is clearly taught is that husbands that are struggling with those kinds of issues, it is the wife that bears the brunt of the pressure. But even if you don't look at the overt negative that comes from the coping with brokenness in our life, and the wrong kind of brokenness, not spiritual brokenness, but the areas that we have an identity crisis, not just the negatives, but just the passivity, just the lack of involvement, the self-absorption, the lack of victory has an enormous impact. I can tell you right now, even among conservative Christians in America, it would not be a high percentage of men that are really meeting their wives' needs. It would be an even smaller percentage of parents who are really parenting their children to genuine victory and usefulness and jumping off of their shoulders, so to speak, and becoming effective in their lives. America's great tragedy is not what we're seeing politically. It certainly is part and parcel with the morality of our day, but the big, big tragedy is the breakdown of the family that has come because of all the issues in people's lives. And so one generation is producing all of these strongholds in the next generation. And so you have parents that aren't parenting and marriages that aren't unified. And you study history, no culture can survive that. But the Church of the Living God can if they're functioning. And I can tell you right now, the energy of a church like ours will come from a number of factors, but one of the key factors is going to be husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, who get a hold of what God has done for them, who they are, get over the guilt and the shame that comes from that, and the escapism and the addictions and the different wrong responses, get on top of that, begin to live spirit-filled, begin to, instead of being so aware of themselves, begin to invest in their wife or husband or children. You start having that happen, and my friends, that church will be strong. I don't care how bad the culture is. The churches are only as strong as the relationships within the church. And so, you know, it's a tragic thing when a man has an addiction for himself, but the tragic thing is what happens to his family. That's why in RU, we don't just encourage the one with addiction to come, we encourage the parents to come. We encourage the wife to come. They're all in it together. It's a very real thing. Now, you may not have a major addiction, but if you have some of these strongholds in your life and you are hurt, I hear regularly about men and women who talk about what has happened in their early days and how hurt they were and how they're struggling through that, didn't realize that's why they have different addictions and that's why they think the way they do and that's why they act the way they do. And they begin to wake up to that and begin to get encouraged in the Lord and realize their lives can be used. And as I hear this, I think, hallelujah, we're going to begin to see, instead of collateral damage, we're going to see now blessing, and God's going to be able to work. So, one of the key problems of identity crisis with insecurity, shame, all these things that we talked about, is the lack of obeying God and being empowered by God in the role that God has given to you. My friends, if you're a husband, your wife desperately needs you. If you're a wife, your husband desperately needs you. That's God's plan. Parents, your children desperately need you, moment by moment. Children, you desperately need your parents. Church member, there are those that God has gifted you to reach. They desperately need you to be functioning. And church as a whole, there's a lost community that is not going to be reached if we are nursing our wounds and not having victory. The collateral damage is key. Now, there are many angles that I could cover. I'm going to take just one. If you look at Ephesians chapter 5, after you have this evidence of being spirit-filled and this command to submit yourselves one to another and note in the fear of God, who's the very first person or role that is dealt with? Well, it's wives. Now, I'm going to use this as an example, but ladies, I'm not picking on you. Remember, I say this often, the Lord only gives three verses for the wives, and gentlemen, the rest of the chapter is to us, okay? But I'm going to look at the matter of a wife and the issue of a wife and a mother not functioning. And often we forget that ladies are being very affected by our culture today. And there's a lot more hurt. I don't even like to talk about it, but the percentage of ladies that have been mistreated as girls is unbelievable. And then you have the passive fathers, and then you have the awful verbal abuse, and you go on and on. Mothers not functioning for daughters, and they're not having any sense of who they are as a woman, and all the emotional struggles that go with it. That affects most of the people that you're looking at. And so oftentimes, women may not have the same exact problems, though they could, that men have, but they have their own addictions and coping mechanisms that strip them of the power of God and cause them to be very much weakened in fulfilling their roles. So if we look, I'm not going to be going from this text, but I want us to read it, and then I'm going to move to another text. Verse 22, this is right after submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. There's the authority. And again, we're not talking about men and women not being equal. The Bible makes it very clear we are equal. This is how God ordered it, how God made us. And so here is this trusting of authority. Do you realize how many ladies have a hard time trusting their husbands because they don't trust men? You know, I've counseled on a number of occasions women who really have a good husband, but because of what their dad did, what other men that they trusted in their life did, they really have a hard time. They impose on their husband their past experiences. And so it's a very real matter. And so wiser to submit. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So you see, a healthy, spirit-filled woman is going to trust God through her husband and then fulfill the role that God has given. The role is not laid out clearly here. There's a lot you can gain from this passage, but I'd like us to go to Titus chapter 2, which gives us more specific insight into what happens when a woman is spirit-filled and what she is like and how she functions. And I think you'll be able to realize that if you are really insecure and self-focused and needing approval and having coping mechanisms that are keeping you from fulfilling your responsibility, if those are happening, then you're not going to be the kind of woman that is mentioned here in Titus chapter 2. You first of all have the older women and the example of them and their responsibility to teach the younger women, verse 3. By the way, back to verse 1. This shows you how strong this passage is. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Why? That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Then here, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. When I was younger, you could count on the fact that there were many, many older women that walked with God. And they really were an example. But our culture has really undermined that, and age does not necessarily equal godliness. And this is something that every lady here needs to realize, that this is the ultimate end of your life where God wants you, so that you can then be beyond just a mother and a wife, but you're able to affect an entire next generation. And I'm just going to look at this quickly, but it is important that in behavior, in your lifestyle, as becometh holiness. Here is a demeanor, deportment of genuine holy living, purity, that which marks the very character of God. And so you can't have that if you're addicted to entertainment. You can't have that if you have wrong friendships. You can't have that if you have other issues in your life. And so the goal of a woman ought to be that she just exemplifies, her entire life is lived out in which you can say, when I see this lady, I see God. I mean, she really loves the Lord. And I tell you what, I am so thankful for the godly women that I have known over the years. You've heard me often talk about my grandmother and my mother. I have no words that can fully express how deeply appreciative I am for their godly example. They were examples of holiness. My mother had a conscience that was deep, and she honored her God. She put in our hearts a fear of doing wrong, and she lived it out. I've often told you, she'd go back to a grocery store. If she got one penny too much, we'd go all the way back. And I'd say, Mom, it's just a penny. She said, no, but it's not ours. So back we went. You know, I remember specifically that happening, going back to City Market. And frankly, I remember praying, where am I going to find a girl like that? And don't want to embarrass my wife, but I am deeply grateful for the fact that that's the same kind of heart that she has. And it makes a difference. It makes a difference. But you know, when the identity issues aren't taken care of, you can't be holy without the Spirit of God enabling you and helping you. And then not false accusers, control the tongue, not a slanderer. That's Satan does. And so it's very important that we understand how important that is. And then the final thing there, and I want you to note this, is not given to much wine. Now, isn't that interesting? Who is given to much wine? Who is given to wrong habits? Those that need to medicate the pain. In other words, older women, by God's grace, have such a walk with God, you don't need emotional medication. I'm talking about different addictions. In our day, one of the top sociological levels, age-wise, of gamblers that are addicted are senior citizens, primarily women. It's amazing. I've seen article after article about it. Coping mechanism, all the pain, all the problems, all the unresolved issues in life, the brokenness in marriage, the mistreatment by fathers, not having God meet those needs. And I'm telling you, it's one way to have an adrenaline high. And one of the big problems with older women can be drinking. It can be prescription medicines. It can be a number of other kinds of issues. It's very real. And I'll tell you that one of the big things, and you dear ladies in the grand mornings know I deal with it every time. What do I always talk about somewhere along the line? Watching too much. Are you out there? TV, right? I deal with that quite often. You know, they're lonely and unhappy and just constantly imbibing in that. That's not going to produce a holy woman. So, I want us to realize that God expects, and he does it in a positive way. It's exciting. He believes that no matter what your past is, ladies, and this is all for men too, but whatever your past is, by the time you get to be older, you can have full victory. Isn't that wonderful? That's what your heritage is. That's what your future is. That's what God wants for you. He wants you to be an example of holiness, a woman that has a godly, edifying tongue that builds people up, and one who doesn't have to escape into other things, but is living life and is engaged in life and is continuing on in the relationships that God has. And then you see, if you're that way, look at the last part of that verse. Teachers of good, wholesome things. And ladies, I want to encourage you to believe God for your latter years to have an impact on the next generation. And I want to call the ladies of this church, we need to get back to godliness in these special years. There is nothing sweeter, better, and more powerful than a spirit-filled, godly woman who is content in the Lord, who's rejoicing, who has overcome the issues of her past, no matter how bad it's been, and has a thankful spirit and has that wholesome heart and is just a refreshing blessing to whoever she meets. And you can be that kind of woman. All right, I took a little longer on that, but I guess God wanted me to. And by the way, don't you appreciate our godly older women in this church? Aren't they a blessing? They really are. They are a great blessing. And they are a great treasure. Be a treasure to the body of Christ. But the purpose is the next generation. And I just wanted you to see, and this is, I'm just using the ladies as an example here. Probably I'll come back to the men because I don't want to leave you out. Not tonight, don't worry, but another time. But I want you to see here that if we have an identity crisis and we are not having that confident relationship with the Lord, that what young women are to be is not going to happen. Verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be what? Sober. Sound-minded, a mind of self-control. In other words, teach the young women not to be controlled by wrong thinking that is motivated by emotion. And this is very, very important. And so when you're insecure, when you're living with shame, when you're filled with anxiety, when you have things in your past you've really never dealt with, you've never told anybody about, when there are just unresolved conflicts in your heart and you're very self-absorbed and you desperately need approval, and you're looking for something with friends, and your life just is constantly in turmoil, that tells you there are some core issues that need to be dealt with by the grace of God. And the good news is they can be, if you get a hold of who you are and how God can meet those needs. But sometimes you really got to deal with them. And so right away, the older women are to teach the younger women not to be ruled by emotion, to learn to be very much anchored on the Word of God and be steady because of the Word of God, sound thinking. And so that's very important. And that leads to the matter of to love their husbands. Now, this is very important. This is a compound word, and you would think it would be agape, that noble, divine, self-sacrificing love that is willful. Well, this is not that word. It's phileo in combination there with husbands. And it has the idea of noble affection, the best of human affection. And this is a command. And so what happens when we are, any of us, are consumed with our own problems, we don't have that spiritual affection and human love that we need to have. And oftentimes you then say or do things that causes reaction with your husband, and then now you've got a division between the two of you, and it's very difficult. And so, ladies, one of the reasons you've got to be very confident in who you are is that you need to be able to really love your husband in a very familial, wifely, womanly way. Now, let you in on a little secret. We men really need that, okay? And now, your man may not act like he does, but he is naturally a wimp, okay? Life is a lot harder for him than he thinks. He is not nearly as tough as he seems. I'm sorry, fellas, to be so honest. You say, that's not me. I am tough. I am strong. Oh, listen, man, you need that warmth and affection. And this is getting uncomfortable. I can see that. Ladies, you know how your little boys just love that motherly love and that encouragement, and I mean, they get 1 foot taller when you really brag on them, and you just, you kiss on a little boy, your big teenage boy, if you stay close to them, won't mind you kissing on them. They actually like it. Even the one that acts a little embarrassed, he still likes it. He needs it. Well, your husband, he may just seems like he doesn't, but you have no idea. The Bible said so, okay? So ladies, you need to do it. Now, can we be honest here for a minute? For some of you, it's really hard. You weren't close to your dad. He hurt you. You've been wounded. It's very hard for you to think of having human affection. Now I can love my husband, agape. I'll make the decision to put him first. I will do my best to be his helpmate. But here the older women are to teach what? Now you got to be free, girl. You got to be his wife. You just got to love on him. Got my wife sitting right here. By the way, she's good at that, so I'm not preaching at her at all. I'm the guy that acts like I don't need it. That's the problem. That's why she's giving this big smile down there. She said, boy, he's being honest tonight. And so I'm being very transparent, you know, I've got it together. But I'm telling you, when she says just that right thing and that touch and that kiss, it goes down deep. I don't care what happens, folks. You can't ruffle me because I got a wife that loves on me, okay? And I'm not being just nice. And sometimes I need to say it. I don't say it very often, but I'm in good shape, and I thank God for that. I thank God for her dear daddy that loved her and made a difference for me. But it's biblical. But see, and she'd tell you, she didn't get hurt by her dad. She doesn't have wounds with men. And so I've had the benefit. But you may have. You say, well, then I'm hopeless. No, you're not. You've got a God that knows that. You know, the Holy Spirit's very warm. He has all the power to make you affectionate. Did you know that he can cause you to love on your husband? That's a decision of the will that then God will give you the power, but you need to do it. Well, you didn't know I was going to get to tonight, did you? But I'm telling you, brokenness, wounds that are not dealt with, and confidence spiritually that is not gained deeply affects your relationship. Your husband needs you to really love on him. That's what it says. Okay? And so the husbands are all sitting here like this. It's really funny. Relax, gentlemen. This is good. Now, you can thank me later. Okay? This is really good stuff. And would you tell them afterwards that Pastor was right? Okay, help me out in this whole thing. Don't be dishonest. All right, but this is very serious what I'm talking about. You live with shame, hurt, distrust of authority, feeling bad about yourself, feeling insecure. It's very hard. Very hard to think right, control your emotions. Very hard to love your husbands in a noble affection. And you're to love your children. Now, that's more natural, but the Bible says to do it. You know what? Let me let you in. I'm going to get off on too many things here. You can love those little kids, but wait till your boy turns a teenager. That girl becomes a woman. Your problems will show up. You may do a good job loving on your kids when they're little, but your insecurities, your question marks, your inability to communicate to your husband about what to do, some of the addictions that make you feel shameful and things that cause you to escape, that'll all show up and your kids will know who you are and you will become crippled, and you have a very natural mothering instinct that God has given you and supernaturally empowered is a glorious thing, and you can keep your kids right close to you if you will allow God to give you his identity and you'll be confident in him. So the Bible puts this in there. Remember, this culture wasn't very good. Look back at chapter 1. Talks about this culture in verse 12. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. So these poor ladies were coming out of a broken society too. That's why I had to tell them this. And then, to be discreet. And again, we go back to the right kind of thinking is so very important to be wise and have spirit-filled thinking rather than emotional, physical, worldly thinking. Very earthy. And then, chaste. Purity in mind and spirit. This is an absolute essential to produce a godly seed and have a good marriage. Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. A virtuous, moral, godly woman. Now, ladies, I know we sometimes seem so conservative here, but I long for you to be free of this world, free of the filth of this world. We need, as I talked about, the older women, the younger gals don't need to be tainted by this. That's why you keep yourself. That's why you have a chastity about you. That's what that will cause you to be a godly older woman. And for the sake of your children, a young mother needs to be godly. There's so much I could say. You can just about guess what I would say. You need to have full barriers about the opposite gender. That's why I be very careful about working out in the world, because it's very, very, very destructive. There are places and times to do it, but you have to be very careful. You need to have the highest standards of morality and modesty in your life. You want a young man to preach on holiness, you live in a way that they know you're holy. My mother was always modest. My mother was a woman. She was clear about who she was. And she loved God and she hated evil. I mean, she hated it with a passion. You want your boys to get up and preach, they're going to preach their mother's sermon. By the way, Mrs. Gilmore does preach. I hate to tell you that. I mean, she does it in order, under authority, but she's got her mother's preaching. And all of you folks in speech class and you girls that have heard her in the dorm, she preaches, right? I mean, she's a pretty strong gal. And so you boys, you Gilmore boys, you had better do right. You've had it nailed to you there. So but it is so important. I tell you, ladies, you don't have to be on the social networking and see that stuff. Don't be so affected by the latest fads. This is my heart cry. I just long for godly women that'll raise a godly seed. That's what it says. It's what it says. But you know, when you're insecure, you need to, how you look means something. And wanting approval and being enamored by the world around you because there's a need and you feel sort of guilty anyway, and what's the use? You're very in a place that you could be tempted. And then, let me just quickly finish this out. Keep her at home. Your heart needs to be at home. If you've been hurt at home, do you think you might have a problem about being the keeper at home? If you're insecure, your mother didn't think much of you, if you had struggles with her or you were mistreated at home, do you think it's going to be a little difficult for you to think that putting yourself into your home is your primary heart and responsibility? Do you think you might have a difficulty? Absolutely. And so that's why it's important that you get the identity crisis settled. And then, good. There it is, an emphasis again. How important that is. And this has the idea of being good, that, and then kindness that comes out of goodness. That's part of being filled with the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. And so much could be said there. And then it says you're obedient to your own husbands. And so there, that trust in God and that willingness to be discipled and led by your husband is going to be very key in your life, and that can only happen, again, if you get full closure in your own spirit about the wounds of the past and get those settled. And here you have it again, the importance, like verse 1 says, speak thou those things which become sound doctrine, verse 5, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Isn't that amazing? It puts it on the women. Ladies have a great God-given ability to live the truth. You're a walking Bible. You have the heart of God. You have the heart of God more than a man does. You see, God, we are all made in his image, and the female side of the whole equation of manhood really shows you the depth of heart that God has for us. I have no trouble knowing that God loves me because my mother loved me. Of course, my dad did too, but there's something about the security of a mother. I just felt like this is about as specific a passage as you can get. So do you think unresolved issues make a difference? I can just tell you right now, if you're still dealing with wounds, if you're medicating that by entertainment or social networking or doing different things, or maybe having little, maybe it can be eating, or maybe it can be partaking in things that you ought not, or if you've got some secret things that aren't resolved in your life, I can tell you right now, you're struggling with these areas. And it's sad for you, but what about your husband? What about your kids? What about the younger women, later on, younger women, that are going to need to be helped? This is where our culture's just really hurting today. We're limping. And I don't blame ladies. I'm telling you, what I say to you is very mild. I don't know how many times in my office I have grieved as I've heard the stories of what ladies have gone through. I get mad. I hate the devil. It's not fair what's happened to so many of you. But God knows, and he's the great healer. And my friends, if you'll deal with those things and not try to medicate them or cope with them, but be transformed and just revel in who you are and what your life is now, and let these truths sink deeply and get help if you need help. And we've got ways you can get help. I mean, you can be free. You may even have wrong viewing troubles. About a third of women do. And you're very ashamed to talk about that. You've got to get help on that. Why? Because of our God, certainly for your sake, but the people that are receiving the collateral damage. Let's bow for prayer. So we bow before the Lord here tonight. A little hard to give an invitation on something like this, but ladies, if God did speak to you and you know that there's something that you just need to work on, you need to get your confidence. You need to get your confidence in the Lord. You need to deal with your insecurities. There are some things maybe you haven't addressed from your past life that you know that you need to really get freedom and closure on. I don't know, but just by the upraised hand, that would be a step toward doing that. I certainly would encourage, if it would help you, I would encourage you to do that tonight with heads bowed. If God did show you that I do need to not just, I can't brush this under the rug. I really need freedom and power so I can be the wife, fellow Christian that I ought to be. Would you pray for me here tonight? Would you slip up your hand if you would appreciate prayer for that? I know it's not easy, but yes, thank you. A number of you have raised a hand. I know that I've got to deal with some things. Please pray for me. Anyone else, you know that it's affecting you. Maybe there's some men, teenagers, others with different ways God just took a message like this and God can use it. And you realize that unresolved problems have collateral damage. And you'd say, I've got some things that are unresolved and I really can't live without dealing with it. Would you pray for me? Would you slip up your hand and join these others that raise a hand? Anyone like that, just say, pray for me. God's working in my life here tonight. All right. God bless you. Amen. It's good. Now, Lord, work in hearts and lives. And Lord, I'm so thankful there's an answer for every issue. And Lord, even though that's a very high standard we just gave, that's just simply you. That's your life that can be seen through a young woman, an older woman, a young man, an older man. The challenge there in Titus 2 for the men is just as strong. Lord, how sad it is when we don't get victory. And Lord, would you just take these simple principles and help, especially these who have been honest, give them steps to take that'll make a difference now, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.